Welcome to the Pig Health Today podcast, where we talk all health all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Pig Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve pig health, welfare, and performance.
Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Bill Hollis. He's a swine veterinarian at Carthage Veterinary Service in Illinois. Great to have you back.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the invitation.
I want to talk with you about mycoplasma. I know it's a favorite topic of yours, but this is an old bug that's been around for a long time. I mean, we've got feed medications, water medications. We've had vaccines around for, I think, at least 25 years. It's still around. What are we doing wrong?
Well, it's a very good question, and it's a difficult bug. So many of my clients really have not use the diagnostic tools that we have to investigate their current status very well. So the new is really understanding the prevalence within a population, and that helps us guide the strategy for either control or elimination. Once we understand both in the breeding stock gilts, so the animals coming into the herd, the sows within the population and if they're shedding into the farrowing crate, and then of course the baby pigs that are leaving the farm, and understanding when those pigs leave, the prevalence of the organism and the behavior that that organism could take, and specifically talking about Mycoplasma how pneumonia and leading to pneumonia.
And I guess it's been kind of an underrated disease over the years. From what I've read, people, they knew it was there, they knew it was a respiratory disease, but they never fully appreciated the economic impact.
Once we began to work at elimination programs, so in breeding stock populations that eliminated and then gave clients the opportunity to have a naive gilt to enter the herd, that was a very good tool, because now you can make a decision of what you're going to do with that female as she enters the sow farm. So having that naive population allowed us to create naive commercial populations, and then those pigs grew at a more efficient rate, less antibiotic use, and we just have learned a great deal more as we've worked to eliminate the organism from certain populations. We have to understand the risk and the organism and the prevalence so we can choose the correct path.
But there's a paradox. I mean, you've got some operations that have eliminated mycoplasma. A lot of others are still struggling with it. I asked you before what we're doing wrong. Maybe the better question is, what could we be doing better?
I would say we're working hard to understand where the organism is evading our tools. So if it's a gilt population that may be getting exposed late, either at entry into the herd or late in their gilt development, they may become a chronic shedding population in that gestation barn. So it's important that we understand both, is our goal to be naive, and if it is, how are we going to eliminate it, and what are those barriers within that population? The pathologists have helped us with really good diagnostic tools now, so we can target specific populations with those diagnostic tools, tracheal swabbing and PCRs, for example. The vaccines and the medications have been very effective over time, but there's a cost both to those organisms and then to the prevalence of the disease. And so understanding when that disease is going to strike and at what level and preparing for that makes a big difference in the growing population.
Yeah, and preparing is a key word. And, you know, again, we have feed and water medications. I neglected to mention injectables earlier, and then we have the vaccines. How do you bring all these together to get better control of the disease? How do you know which ones to use at which times?
Well, I can give you an example, and it's a painful one. We did have a client with a naive population that became active, so they got infected. And preparing for that ahead of time, knowing that an aggressive medication therapeutic program, a mass vaccination of that sow population, pays good dividends at reduction of the organism shedding downstream. That's an extreme example of that population that became active. The chronic ongoing status leads to sort of, as you described earlier, this acceptance of mycoplasma in the growing pig population. So then making a decision of, can we reduce the population or possibly even eliminate the Mycoplasma how pneumonia from the population, and then laying that against the benefit that we would receive. That helps us understand where to target those vaccines, which medications and what time periods will be most effective with that population, and frankly, if there's other infectious disease prevalence pushing, so flu virus or PRRS virus, pushing that mycoplasma to explode.
And, you know, the industry has made a great effort to use antibiotics more responsibly. Some have just arbitrarily reduced or eliminated antibiotics. Has that opened up the door for mycoplasma? Because it is a bacterial pathogen.
I would say we've learned where that organism likes to grow, mm-hmm. and we've learned the length of time that these very low prevalence populations will grow that organism. And we've also identified other mycoplasma that are not Mycoplasma howe pneumonia as a result of the elimination, say, of Mycoplasma howe pneumonia. We have some populations that are free of Mycoplasma howe pneumonia, and now as we've done further investigation, find a Mycoplasma hyorhinus, for example.
Hyorhinus.
It's a less pathogenic, and it's also in the upper airway, but no doubt it's present, and we can find the pathology. And we can establish a control program for that mycoplasma that's very different than Mycoplasma howe pneumonia.
So how does hyorhinus present in comparison to howe pneumonia?
What I've experienced is, for example, a breeding stock gilt population free of Mycoplasma howe pneumonia. We can find Mycoplasma hyorhinus doing absolutely no damage and creating no problem. In those situations, that's an animal that had early recognition of the organism and did not have any significant pathology. At the same time, we have some populations that have very limited exposure to Mycoplasma hyorhinus in their development, and then for either population dynamics or changes in the flow or changes in the density of pigs in a growing environment, we can see an increase in the level of Mycoplasma hyorhinus, leading to this upper airway infection. They'll even have a tearing and a third eyelid get really swollen. Fortunately, we can control it, both with autogenous vaccinations or with medications, but we need to recognize there are other disease presentations in these populations. As we've worked to eliminate Mycoplasma howe pneumonia, there's others out there we need to look at and work on.
So to be clear then, as we eliminate Mycoplasma howe pneumonia, are we opening up the door or making these pigs more susceptible to the hyorhinus?
I don't believe we are. Okay. They're very different organisms. They present in different pathological presentations within the pig, but they can confuse us in our diagnostics and also in the presentation, clinical presentation within the pig.
So what do you do about hyorhinus?
We'll medicate. We can control the organism with early medication. We'll also harvest the organism, and the pathologist will help us grow it and put it into a vaccination program that creates that early recognition of the organism.
And have you noticed any common denominators in the herds that have had this newer form of mycoplasma? Are they certain types of pig flows or different stages of production?
There are producers in my client base that would say it's irrelevant, it doesn't matter, because we can find it commonly in their diagnostics and it presents with relatively no problems. It's really in those high health populations where we've worked to eliminate other diseases and then we can see it present itself. That's where we've identified it more commonly. And I believe we need to work to minimize the impact of that organism.
So when we were talking about doing this interview the other day, you described mycoplasma as a disease that was an old bug but requiring new strategies. What new strategies are you recommending right now to your producers?
Specifically, early diagnostics, both in the breeding stock gilts and in the sow farm, so that we understand the prevalence of that organism. But get those diagnostics, whether that be PCR testing, if we're very specific, or serum, if we know that it's a naive population that we don't have any vaccine. So diagnostics, an audit and evaluation of our vaccines and our medications. Where are we using them? Are they targeted appropriately? So that the farms themselves can understand, are they on track with their strategy? And then in the end, it's a long-term decision of, do we want to eliminate? There's been some very successful elimination programs that have now gone several years and stayed that way. So elimination is always a scary topic for commercial producers. They don't want to be at risk of an explosion, And so we have a great deal of work before we get there to help them understand those risks. And then in many cases, take that plunge and get rid of that organism.
And usually where there's mycoplasma, there are other co-infections, whether they be PRRS, flu, PCV. Have you noticed any pattern? If a herd does have mycoplasma, do they tend to be more susceptible to some other viral diseases?
Well, I would say that the environments and the management strategies that can lead to activity of any of those organisms or all of those organisms go together. And so if there's instability in a gilt population, it could be to any one or all four of those that you described. So gauging where we are with our gilt development strategy and how closely we have identified the prevalence in our gilt development strategy helps us understand, have we taken the right approach for control? I don't know that I would agree that having mycoplasma would bring with it the other organisms. I just believe that the environments and strategies that may lead to positive flu, positive PRRS, and positive mycoplasma, you can break those apart and have separate control or elimination strategies for each one of those.
And with mycoplasma, as the industry has backed off of the feed antibiotics, there has been more of a push toward individual pig care, walking the pens, picking off the sick pigs early in development, and certainly giving whatever antibiotics or other interventions they need at that time. Is this something that you've been advocating with your producers?
Absolutely. Judicious use and controlled, targeted use of antimicrobials is beneficial for the producer and the pig and food safety. So a targeted medication approach is beneficial for everyone. In the case of some of these population diseases like mycoplasma, they don't present with an active cough at the beginning. So you can't walk into a population of 100-pound pigs and identify the pigs that are going to be active with mycoplasma. It's a slow-growing organism that requires an understanding of the population. That makes it more challenging, but also that's why we would have a judicious use program.
As you said, Bill, it's an old bug, one that demands new strategies and ideas, so it seems like you're bringing a lot to the table.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We've been talking to Dr. Bill Hollis. He is a veterinarian at Carthage Veterinary Service. Thanks again for coming by.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Pig Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting pighealthtoday.com/join.